The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, Bli Neder, last day we'll spend on the Halacha L'maaseh before we go on in the Rambam.
I know.
Okay, so quick review. The Mechaber brought down, and the Ramah brought down the Rambam's priorities, but with a few more exceptions about paternal brother first, and then maternal brother, and then also Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael and Yoshvei Chutz La'aretz, which we still didn't get the reconciliation of, like, at what point that factor comes in. We're under the impression that it's like, did we end up saying yesterday, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, so you obviously take care of your city,
yeah.
But then if you're going to your Acheres, it sounds like you go to Eretz Yisrael first,
yeah.
And then you're, then other.
I think, did you also, like, flip that and say, if you're living in Eretz Yisrael, you go to your city and then another city in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Before going
right.
To
I also wonder if this would be a tiebreaker for, like, relatives, right? Yeah, Yosef.
Also, could also be interpreted as, yes, only applying if you're Yisrael. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, then you prioritize Eretz Yisrael,
I don't think so, right? Because then that would be included in Aniye Iracha.
No,
if you're in Eretz Yisrael, then you prioritize Eretz Yisrael.
As in, why should you try and care more about Tel Aviv?
Oh, you mean other cities within there? That could be. Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, according to Yoshvei Chutz La'aretz.
I'm not sure.
You should have said it. Which way? The way it is said or another way?
No, the way it's said is just saying that the one that you call up first.
Yeah, the recipients. Yeah, that's how I would read it. Yeah, yeah.
And were you positing that this Eretz Yisrael Chutz Arts can modify, like, things like Krogan?
Yeah, like let's say...
I have a son who lives in Eretz Yisrael, I have a son who lives in Chutz Arts. So I prioritize my son who lives in Eretz Yisrael, so we both from...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. I'm not saying definitely,
but... Other modifiers at home? Like your mother from your father or your mother from your mother.
Yeah, what about that?
That's not Eretz Yisrael.
No, I'm saying, I assume that there are other...
Right. In other words, the Krovim hierarchy that he put up here is, like, seems to be absolute. But then within Krovim that are not specified an order for, then maybe this is like a tiebreaker or something. I don't know. Okay, but now let's go on. Oh, and then he also said your own parnasa comes first. Etc. Okay, so now let's do the Aruch HaShulchan. I'm not even going to read the Aruch HaShulchan's codification of the previous one. He said you're not chayav in tzedakah until you have a parnasa, right? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, "Vinei kvar bi'arnu b'simin reish mem ches if gimel dezesh kas v'she'en chayav l'tein tzedakah ad shi'yeh l'parnasaso." So when we wrote earlier that you are not chayav to give tzedakah until you have a parnasa, zehu b'tzedakah t'midios. That's with your continual tzedakahs, ma'aser ochomesh, like ma'aser ochomesh, the standards. Mm-hmm. But to fulfill the mitzvah tzedakah, the minimum everyone has to do. Af ani hamis pranas mitzvah tzedakah, right? If even an ani has to do it, then certainly someone who's not having a parnasa. Yeah.
General ani question.
Yeah.
I don't remember if you said anything about it. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
But if you have an ani who's not getting a parnasa from tzedakah, like this is an ani who, like, people aren't giving to for whatever reason,
yeah,
does he qualify in af ani hamifarnes hamifarnes min hatzedakah? Meaning, if he's, like, literally not being supported,
right? You mean would he still have to give tzedakah? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and he did say this earlier that because that's a mitzvah, like, on every person. And. Their only qualification is, like, I think he brings down the question there of if an ani is only chayv to give to someone who's equal or lower than him.
Right.
But I think he's also to give shlichus to shako. Yeah.
So the parsi is, like, in a sense, the more machmir, there are cases like a person has no support because he can say all of his money isn't even his money, but it's just it's
something. No, I think we treat it as his money.
No, I don't think it's a nice. And obviously, no, luckily, it's as much as spend.
You're saying conceptually, then...
As in, that's why you would think that he would not, but the ani who has no support would have to.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... I understand your intuitive thing. It's a little bit of a weird thing, though, right? To say that guy who has nothing You would think that he's more chayav than the guy who is being given something.
Well, obviously, there's nothing he can't give, doesn't it?
If he has, I don't know.
Himself.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I don't know if I would say that. Okay, but amnam bi ikari hadvarim kasha li tuva. But with the ikari hadvarim, this is very difficult for me. Im nomar dvarim, im ne'amar, I don't know if ne'amar or nomar, dvarim kipshutan, if the things were said according to their pshad, Elu kodmin la elu, that these come before these, ve'elu la elu, and these to these, da'kavana she'eno tzarech li'ten klal l'madrega she'achar zeh, that you don't need to give at all to the level after this.
What?
Sorry, da'kavana, sorry, did I skip something?
No,
I didn't. I think there should not be a period here. I think, okay, in other words, elu di'im ne'mar d'varan kipshutan. No, so the simple way of reading it is, it's like tiers, right? Like you give all your tzedakah to your family, and then only if there are no anim in your family, then you go to the next level. And if only there are no anim there, then you go to the next level. I think that's what he's saying that the Devarim Kipshutan would be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he says it's not klal, meaning you don't have the chiyuv until you don't have
until you've emptied out the canister, whatever. Yeah, right. Yeah. That's Devarim Kipshutan, okay? Ulefi zeh ha-hadavar yedua shalcho asher yesh harbe krovim aniyim. But according to this, you have the fact that it's known that every Ashir has many wealthy relatives.
Poor
relatives, yeah.
Meaning, is that poor relative to him, or is that just that they're relatives who are poor?
Relatives who are poor.
Why is that a thing? Who's
that? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a thing. You don't know?
Right. I mean, the relatives come flocking. Oh, I'm your second cousin twice removed. Yeah.
Does that make sense in the sense that relative to him, his relatives are poor?
I don't think he's saying relative to him, though. I don't think so. I don't think there's an idea of relative on him that we've introduced at all. All the more so for a Baal HaBayis whose tzedakah is very little. Okay, now I'm totally lost. Koshkein Labala Bayas Shah Tzedakah Shalom Mu'atas.
Tzedakah Shalom, meaning his tzedakah that he receives?
I think that he gives.
Why is the Baal HaBayis giving?
Well, because he's having tzedakah.
Whereas, why is it Mu'atas?
Because he's not an Ashir. What?
He only had a little.
Yeah, because it's relative to the Ashir.
Wait. No, but in a relative scale, they're both giving 10 to.
Let's go on. I want to get the whole thing. Let's not make the classic mistake of stopping reading and then the answers in the next sentence. V'im kein lefi zeh, if so, according to this, osam hanim she'en lahem krovim krovim ashirim yamusa barav. So now it's going to turn out that the niim who don't have rich relatives are going to die of starvation, right? So you'll have aniim who have a lot of poor relatives, and if he has to fully support all of his relatives before giving to anybody, so then the ani who doesn't have relatives is going to like be unlucky and he's just going to die. Okay. Of Eif Shalom Rakin, how can you say this? Yeah.
Can I find what the for me?
Sure.
First of all, obviously, you have to die.
Okay, yeah, right. I mean, I think he's exaggerating a bit.
But also, I don't think you know, when you're in the armies, that you're not going to have any more money left over if you got all your ideas.
Well, how much then do you give to the ani who's a karov before you start giving to the
other? Whatever his name of karov.
Right, but isn't that the problem? Isn't he saying if you do that, then you're going to end up depleting all of your tzedakah money for your krovim, and then you're never going to get to people who don't have krovim?
Or because he can only give a fifth.
Yeah, money. Right.
So even if he has more money left over, it's not...
Right. Let's see. Let's see what he answers. V'lechein nira l'anius da'iti. Now it's a pun. I mean, I know that's an expression, l'chein nius da'iti, but yeah. Someone should have given him the berur hadavarim kachim, that the explanation of the matters is such. The bavadai kol bal habayis o ashir hanosin tzedaka mechuyav litin chelak laniyim harachokim. Certainly, every bal habayis or ashir who gives tzedaka is obligated to give a portion to far off aniyim. Ella dilakrovav yitain yoser milsha eno krovav, but to his relatives he gives more than to his non-relatives. And everyone goes according to this. Now it's going to end up being that the poor people who don't have rich relatives are still going to be getting tzedakah. It's just that you are prioritizing in the sense of like caring for them more, you know. Vagam bezeh shakasu de parnasaso kodim. Okay, now this also has a big impact on what it means that your parnas is first. Im nomar kipshuto. If you were to say that according to the pshuto, imkain ruban shel balei batim paturim minat tzedakah lagamrei. So then most people would be patur from tzedakah completely because they're feeding themselves and their kids, right? Levad shlishis shekel b'shana, except for shlishis shekel b'shana. V'yidua de rov Yisrael halavai shiaspik lehem parnasasam lhotza asam. It's known that for the majority of the Jews, would not that it were. What does the article like to say for halavai? If only it were. So, if only it were the case. But the article says some weird thing. If only it were true, shiaspik lehem parnasasam lhotza asam, that they were making enough to meet their expenditures, right? That they wouldn't be like in the red or whatever. Lefize yafturu kula mina tzedakah zulas ashirim gadol. And then according to that standard, everyone would be putter from tzedakah except for really rich people. And in places where there are no rich people, then all the poor people would die of starvation. And also the minhag is not like that. People give tzedakah to people who are not their household members, even if they're like, you know, struggling to make ends meet. Yeah.
Question. Why is that wrong? Because they would just be saying there'd not be a chilut. They could, but still not usher to give.
I think he's saying. Yeah. Yeah, but isn't that he's saying that's what he's trying to say? What the basic halacha is?
Why bring up minhag though?
Because he's saying that's a raya that this is not how we paskin.
Minhag here meaning like just practice.
Yeah, the practice, right.
Not
yeah,
like, not
yeah.
Like we were no hag to give.
No. Yeah, and again, this is in terms of methodology here. Is this a good time to review the thingy? I really want to. Yeah, I do. We haven't read this in a while. What Mishnah Berura versus Aruch HaShulchan.
On Minhag?
No. Oh. I mean, it's going to be on. That's why I'm bringing it in. But that little halacha by Rabbi Ari Enkin.
It's sort of like the Ashkenazi Sephardi, where Ashkenazi would be much more like a halacha follows what people do in general, whereas Sephardi tends to be like they look. Halacha is the books and whatever.
Something like that. Let's see what this is.
Rabbi, versus,
they're both Ashkenazi.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm saying it's kind of like that. But you'll see. So this is Rabbi Ari Enkin writing about the differences between the two. So he says that. Yeah, the Aruch HaShulchan is probably the most thorough and conveniently organized compilation of halakha today. Every halakhic issue opens with a presentation of the relevant scriptural and Talmudic passages. So too, unlike the Mishnah Berurah's text-based tradition to design halakha, the Aruch HaShulchan tries to determine the halakha based on Talmudic precedents and contemporary practice, and often works hard to satisfy both. It's not since the Rambam that there has been a work of halakha that covers all the Jewish law like the Aruch HaShulchan does. Now we get our Kiyum and Rambam Bikiyus by doing Aruch HaShulchan, the true successor of the Rambam. Yeah, fine. And then he says why we, who takes precedence over, I'll read this anyway. Rabbi Yehud Henkin cites his grandfather, Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, as having ruled that the Aruch HaShulchan is the more definitive and authoritative decisor of halacha. He offers a number of reasons for this. One reason is because most of the Aruch HaShulchan was written after the Mishnah Berurah, even though they were somewhat contemporaries. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan often cites the Mishnah Berurah before issuing his own ruling. Another reason why the Aruch HaShulchan should be considered more authoritative is because it covers the entire Shulchan Aruch, while the Mishnah Berurah only covers the Or HaChaim section. So too, as mentioned, the Aruch HaShulchan also takes into account the common customs of his day before rendering a ruling. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah was essentially written by a scholar, while the Aruch HaShulchan was written by a scholar who was also a practicing rabbi. As a practicing rabbi, the author regularly interacted with the community and dealt with the problems and issues that they faced. He had more hands-on experience in dealing with halakhic dilemmas. Indeed, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein is reported to have said that the Aruch HaShulchan takes precedence over the Mishnah Berurah for this reason alone. And not that this is a raya, but this morning I asked for Pesach HaShaila after presenting him with like all these like achronim, and then he quoted
the nail
thing, yeah. Nail thing. And then he just quoted the Aruch HaShulchan. I was saying, like, what do you do in a case where the Ramah Paskins that it makes a difference what order you cut your nails in? And he just quoted the Aruch HaShulchan, who ends up saying, like, these things have no basis in halacha, and like whatever you want to, if you're machfi, you're machfi. If not. I want to give a whole shiur on that, but not to Yeshiva, unfortunately. Yeah. But anyway, so that's quoting the Minhag, because that's how he do. Yeah. Okay. V'lachin nire l'niyos dati bar, it seems clear to me, d'zeh shakasav ha-gaon de parnasaso kodemes, that when the Gaon must be the Shulchan Aruch, right? Writes that the Parnasa comes his, or maybe the no, the Ramah's the one who wrote it, right? Was it? Parnasa's Atma, the Ramah. When the Gaon writes that your Parnasa comes first, Hainu Beish She'enu Marviach, Rak Lechem Tsar Umayim Lachatz. That's only talking about a guy who doesn't make any profit. He just has like bread and water to eat. Okay, so he's not an ani because he has meals, but he's like really, really dire in his like basic needs.
It's lechem tzar, like
bread. Narrow bread.
Oh,
it's like a baguette. No, I'm just kidding. That would tsar is pain with an ayin, tsara is also like trouble or travail, but tsar is like bein hamitzarim, like between the straits, the narrow. Tsar is the opposite of rachav. In a meitzar, right. Lachin maybe raya mihatsarfatim mitzarfatis hatsarfis. Therefore, he brings a raya from the French. Is that what it means?
Because we're also saying long breath.
Oh yeah. Okay. All right. Shebisham hayatali chaye nefesh mamish. That in France, then people were like literally like hanging on for their dear life. Shaya raev ba'olam, because there was a famine in the world. Kamavur b'malachim sham. It's possible he's quoting another gaon. Because the Ramah was not in France, right? I mean, none of the Gaonim were in France proper, but the im nosar lo lechem umayin, and if they had leftover bread and water, aviv imo kodmi, then they would have to give it to their they would give it to their fathers and mothers. The acher kach banav, and then their kids. Wait, who's the Ramah quoting? Hakol b'tur. Okay, fine.
Was it Tor?
No. I don't think the Tor was in France either. Aval ha'ish shemarviach parnasas kabal bayis chashuv, but a guy who has some profit, like a kabal bayis chashuv, she'ochel karoy lechem ubasar v'tavshil, and he eats bread, meat, and cooked foods. V'lovish umachase es atzmo, and he clothes himself karoy properly. Vaday dechayev b'tzdaka meiser ochomesh min parnasas. He's clearly obligated in a tenth or a fifth of his parnasa. V'chele gadol mei tzedaka, and a big portion of his tzedaka yitain l'krova v'ani yiro, he can give to his relatives and the people in a city. And a little bit he's obligated to give to people far off and in another city. If not for that, then you're going to have cities that die off because of starvation. It's definitely like I said. You should know that this is the case. Because if not, what limit would you give to saying that your own parnasa comes first, right? You got to get an Xbox.
Right.
All right. I just said that because I saw a meme about Xboxes. I don't know if people buy it anymore. I need all of my profits for my parnasa, for a horse to ride on and a servant to run in front of me, right? There's no limit to expenditures, as is known. It's definitely like I said, that this whole halakha of the strict prioritization only comes when you are starving, right? Then you apportion it out in that exact order, and you only go to the next level when you've exhausted the first level. But if you have any, like, you know, if you're what do you call it, middle income family, right, or whatever, then you can give most of it based on the priority list, but you got to give it to other places also to distribute the wealth.
If your kids and your wife, then you are not starving.
Yeah.
And you have like basic needs covered. Then,
yeah.
Then you can like go to the next level.
Exactly. Yeah. So this actually changes my practice because I pretty much give all my tzedakah to far away aniyim. And so according to this, and I did that because I thought that was what you're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not giving to my, you know, I don't think anyone in my family needs, so I can expand the tzedakah giving to Nigeria. No, no, I'm not going to give to that guy, the sketchy guy. What? Sorry, hold on a sec. It's funny. He doesn't say to Eretz Yisrael, right? I mean, that he hasn't addressed yet. That's going to be later on, I think. But he just is Ira Harris, right? He doesn't sound, you know. Yeah. Sorry. What?
Okay. Not a person saying that that there won't be money for people who need it. I don't know exactly what it was, no, in general.
Yeah, in most places, that's not going to be the case. I mean, I'm sure there are some Jewish communities which are really really dire, in dire poverty. But I mean, look, I mean, you know, when I mean, they're not poor, but like when, you know, Johnny was in, you know, Namibia and, you know, met the only two Orthodox Jews there. Later on, he was asking her about how COVID was treating them. You know, this was during the first part of the pandemic. And she said, you know, thank Hashem that there is enough for our crops.
Right.
Like, that's like, you know, like, I don't know, some places in Africa, like maybe, you know, like you're in this situation, you know? So, okay. That's that. See, this is really practical. Yeah. For you. Okay. All right. Let's stop here for today and plan to go on after. Yeah.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.